理课堂听 class.com。
The car lurched to the left, and the Baudelaires lurched with it, rolling to the left-hand side of the trunk, along with the many items Olaf kept in his car to help with his dastardly plots. Violet tried not to cough, as one of his fake beards tickled her throat. Klaus held his hand up to his face so that a sliding toolbox wouldn't break his glasses. And Sunny shut her mouth tightly, so she wouldn't get one of Olaf's dirty undershirts tangled in her sharp teeth. Rarely ridden road was even bumpier than the highway they had been travelling on, and the car made so much noise that the children could not hear any more of the conversation until Olaf pulled the automobile to a creaky stop.
"Are we there yet?"
the hook-handed man asked.
"Of course we're here, you fool,"
Olaf said.
"Look, there's the sign, Caligari Carnival."
"Where is Madame Lulu?"
asked the bald man.
"Where do you think?"
Esme asked, and everyone laughed. The doors of the automobile opened with a scraping sound, and the car lurched again as everyone piled out.
"Should I get the wine out of the trunk, boss?" the bald man asked.
The Baudelaires froze.
"No," Count Olaf replied. "Madame Lulu will have plenty of refreshments for us."
The three children lay very still and listened as Olaf and his troop trudged away from the car. Their footsteps grew fainter and fainter, until the siblings could hear nothing but the evening breeze as it whistled through the bullet holes, and at last it seemed safe for the Baudelaire orphans to speak to one another.
"What are we going to do?"
Violet whispered, pushing the beard away from her.
"Merrill,"
Sunny said. Like many people her age, the youngest Baudelaire sometimes used language that was difficult for some people to understand, but her siblings knew at once that she meant something like, "We'd better get out of this trunk."
"As soon as possible," Klaus agreed. "We don't know how soon Olaf and his troop will return. Violet, do you think you can invent something to get us out of here?"
"It shouldn't be too hard," Violet said, "with all this stuff in the trunk."
She reached out her hand and felt around until she found the mechanism that was keeping the trunk closed.
"I've studied this kind of latch before," she said. "All I need to move it is a loop of strong twine. Feel around and see if we can find something."
"There's something wrapped around my left arm," Klaus said, squirming around. "It feels like it might be part of the turban Olaf wore when he disguised himself as Coach Genghis."
"That's too thick," Violet said. "It needs to slip between two parts of the lock."
"Semja,"
Sunny said.
"That's my shoelace, Sunny," Klaus said.
"We'll save that as a last resort," Violet said. "We can't have you tripping all over the place if we're going to escape." "Wait, I think I've found something underneath the spare tire."
"What is it?"
"I don't know," Violet said. "It feels like a skinny cord with something round and flat at the end."
"I bet it's a monocle," Klaus said. "You know, that funny eyepiece Olaf wore when he was pretending to be Gunther, the auctioneer."
"I think you're right," Violet said.
"Well, this monocle helped Olaf with his scheme, and now it's going to help us with ours. Sunny, try to move over a bit so I can see if this will work."
Sunny squirmed over as far as she could, and Violet reached around her siblings and slipped the cord of Olaf's monocle around the lock of the trunk. The three children listened as Violet wiggled her invention around the latch, and after only a few seconds they heard a quiet click, and the door of the trunk swung open with a long, slow creak. As the cool air rushed in, the Baudelaire stayed absolutely still in case the noise of the trunk caught Olaf's attention, but apparently he and his assistants were too far away to hear, because after a few seconds the children could hear nothing but the chirping of the evening crickets and the faint barking of a dog.